From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of Night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, cardigan sweater wearing producer, my friend, and forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hey there, Bob. It's good to see you on the screen as well. It's also good to see me on the screen. I'm a vampire, but yet you could see me in the living flesh right here on another episode, another week of Bob After Dark. It's good to see you, Bob.
Good to see you, Count. Before we get to your weekend update, there's somebody else here, which...
I didn't say hi to him yet because I didn't know if you want to introduce him.
But... I mean, it's kind of rough because we did our 6 feet apart, like, table thing, but he's still in frame.
Yeah,
so well, it's kind of hard to be like, oh, surprise, cut the camera too.
I feel like that's
I'm even saying his name early. Yeah. But unfortunately, the master of the Chicago Bear Hug does not fit comfortably at the two-piece glass table and almost broke it the last time he was here. So without further ado, everybody, my brother, a pro wrestling superstar, paranormal researcher, paranormal debunker, hopeful skeptic, Steve Michaels.
Oh, hey there, Bob.
Oh, hey there, Steve.
It's good to be back. It's good to be back here on in studio, back at Bob After Dark. I've missed this show, man.
We missed having you. What's going on with you these days? You're here on a Tuesday without your voice being heard. It's strange.
Yeah, I was just expecting you to stop at what's going on and just be like, why are you here? Last week was the last Tuesday that OVW ran shows. Starting this Thursday, OVW goes live on Fight TV for not just 1 hour, Bob, but for 2 hours. Ooh. This is the longest weekly show that OVW has ever put on, and we will be running a live 2 hour show on Fight TV starting at, I believe, 6 Central. I've got to double-check my notes. But yeah, so that frees up my Tuesdays, which means yours truly gets to come back to this show on a much more frequent basis.
That's good. We miss having you.
And I have missed being here myself.
Is there a particular reason why you miss being here?
Do you know what? It's, I give you a lot of guff, Bob. You know, I goof around a lot, but Bob After Dark has kind of become my second home when I'm not in the ring. So it's good to be back. It's good to see the Count again.
Yes, good to see you, Steve.
There's a mirror there. I can't really see his reflection, but I see his cape, so
there,
I know
yes.
He's there someplace. There's just floating headphones.
It's
weird.
I know. It's spooky. It's a spooky show. That's why we're here every week, for being spooky.
Absolutely. So, because the fans are going to get very, very mad if I don't do this, we need Count Panic's weekend update. Like, the fans get legitimately mad and heated when I've gotten hate mail, being like, oh, you skipped Panic's weekend update. And, I mean, that's fine.
My weekends are relatively tame, though. Well, you know, I'll give you my weekend update here. I was inside here, the same place I'm sitting right now, on Saturday. It was a big event here at the Strack and Mantel Studios. People were pitching their ideas and inventors alike, entrepreneurs, they were in the studio pitching their ideas. And that's the thing, Bob.
Did you pitch an idea?
I didn't pitch an idea. I was just recording them pitching their ideas. But that's the thing. We got to create an idea together. That's key. But we'll think about that after the show. Maybe we could earn some big money here.
A podcast called Bob After Dark where we talk about the paranormal.
That's a good idea, Bob.
Do you know what? I would go for that if we kept it like at 45 minutes.
Yeah.
We could do it about 45 minutes, I'd be down.
There was nothing that last year for 45 minutes. But other than that, Bob, take your minds out of those places they're in right now. But that's the thing, Bob. That was a very low-key weekend. I appreciate people wanting to know about my weekends, but very low-key. I do want to say happy birthday to my sister, Melissa. Today is her birthday.
Happy birthday, Melissa.
Happy birthday.
And I just got back from eating some cake, and she's listening right now. So.
Oh, well, happy birthday, Melissa. What kind of cake was it?
It was a banana cake with chocolate icing.
Did you bring any for me and Steve?
No, I didn't.
Did you hear that?
There was very
unbelievable.
I'm sorry about that. Well, after the show, we'll go back to her house and finish some cake there.
Sounds good. She's welcoming us into the home.
Well, she didn't welcome you guys. I'll welcome you guys.
That's fine. Okay. We're vaxxed. We're all good.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes. Steve.
Yes.
Because you're here, we get your weekend update.
Oh, my weekend update. Which I knew was something that I would have to talk about, so I had something prepared, was...
Night court.
Oh.
Honestly, this isn't a joke, and this is going to sound like a rip. I actually watched Alf's cartoon.
Nice.
This weekend. Alf had a cartoon in the late 80s, early 90s. At Half Price Books, I found one of the DVDs for the Alf cartoon, and I watched that this weekend.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that was your highlight of the weekend.
Why wouldn't that be a highlight? And do you know what? I figured it's an alien, so it's kind of related to all the spooky
Alf.
Stuff.
We are not bringing Alf on the show.
I mean, have you tried booking him?
I don't think Alf takes bookings in 2021.
Panic, I think you could get on that.
If you guys get me Alf on the show, I'm not going to put any effort into this interview.
We
but
get
if
Alf
you guys
on.
Book Alf, I'm going to scream.
Alf was ahead of his time.
He was. And you know what? Alf had his own talk show. So, I mean,
that on TV Land?
It was on TV Land. It lasted for like one season. And yes. we could do a trio, you, me, and Alf on an episode.
That would be something. Hey, I want to give a quick shout out to one of our viewers that's watching right now.
Elf?
It's her birthday. It's our fan, Alicia. So we just want to wish Alicia a happy birthday.
Wow, lots of birthdays today.
Happy birthday, Alicia.
Happy birthday.
Do you guys have a birthday coming up? Let us know. We'll give you a quick shout out on the show when we do if we're recording on your birthday. Let us know. We'll give a shout out.
Or we'll just shout out Elf.
Yeah.
Yes. So happy birthday, Alicia. And
good to be back.
My weekend update.
What happened, Bob?
What is your weekend update, Bob?
I actually did something very interesting on Sunday. I recorded a podcast episode exclusive for Bob After Dark. I collaborated with Pat and Rebecca from Ghostly, and that episode should be out. If you're listening to this live, it should be out tomorrow. By the time you guys are listening to this in podcast land, it will be out in podcast land. It was an episode we did about the Cecil Hotel, the famous haunted hotspot of Los Angeles, which was subject of a very popular Netflix documentary that's out now on Netflix.
I've seen it.
It was
really phenomenal documentary.
I was blown away by it. Oh, spoiler free, that documentary is not very paranormal, so I wanted to do a paranormal take on it because that was a true crime documentary through and through.
And I had heard a lot of the stories about the Cecil in my times as an investigator.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting and extremely fascinating to watch that.
And I'm not a true crime guy by any means. Like that, I was describing this to one of our fans who I'm going to get to his story here in a little bit yesterday when he was talking to me. And he was asking me about, does the UFO world fall into the paranormal? And I said, sure, it does. And I always go back to my same analogy of the bowling league. Of the people that think on the left-hand side of the tracks, and that's, paranormal people that deal in ghosts, cryptozoology, UFOs, true crime, conspiracy theories. We all bowl on the same bowling league, just on different teams. So I'm not into true crime as much, not my cup of tea. The world sucks enough without me happening to read about it on, like, a normal and being like, oh, that's really tragic. So I still enjoyed the documentary, and I got a chance to record an episode. That podcast will be out in podcast land. You guys could probably scroll up. It's going to be the episode above that. But for the live viewers, stick around. It should be out tomorrow. That's the plan. So that's my big update for the week.
Nice, Bob.
Good. Yep. And then me and Steve were figuring out what we were going to do for the episode this week. And Steve's like, the Yeti of the Himalayas. And I'm like, it's May.
I still think it's a good episode. Look, let me explain this. We've never, in all the years that Bob After Dark has been running, We have never done an episode on the Yeti.
We've never done a Yeti episode. Never and there's a Yeti reason episode. For it. Because the Yeti falls into that, like, cold season, and there's always something else going on, like the Ghost of Antarctica, which you guys can go and check that out in the podcast. I just never got around to the Yeti. It's funny enough that I'm going to say 2 years of doing Bob After Dark. In my 2 years of doing Bob After Dark, I never did an episode about our main topic of this week either, and I get a lot of requests for this one. So it just fell in the line that, oh, I'm recording this episode on May the 4th, that it makes sense for me to do an episode about this thing that we're going to talk about in a little bit.
It's true. I'm just, look, all I'm saying is that, you know, we've done episodes on UFOs, we've done episodes on Paul Bunyan.
Oh.
But we have never done the Yeti.
Okay.
And that's
I thought
saying.
You were going to go somewhere else.
What? I'm not.
That's good. We're done.
What are you?
I'm not insinuating. Thank you for.
Oh, Johnny Appleseed. Yeah. We've done.
That is a deep cut that only the oldest of fans know I did. Back when we were radio only.
Fans, that is a good one. If you can find that someplace, for the love of God, you have to listen.
Thanks. It's somewhere you guys can find the Johnny Appleseed episode from American Legends. From my first year doing the show.
It wasn't bad.
It was an episode.
No, I've got bootleg cassettes in my trunk.
Jeez. I just real quick, and then we'll move forward. Back when I was a young and aspiring, you know, entertainer in the paranormal, I'm like, oh, we're going to do this American Folklore Month. And you're like, uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, here's the topics I got in mind. We're going to do Paul Bunyan. You're like, wow, Paul Bunyan was like a 6'2" man at a time when like the natural height was like 5'8". That's the only reason why he was big. I'm like, nah, it's great. No. And then we did an episode about Johnny Appleseed, and you're like, Bob, it's a terrible idea. And I'm like, no, it's going to be great. I'm going to find some paranormal stuff to talk about. There's nothing paranormal about Johnny Appleseed.
Johnny Appleseed himself, that's a legendary
tale. I had to pull every string I could possibly come up with to make Johnny Appleseed an interesting character, absolutely. But for a paranormal show, no.
And this is why Steve Michaels has returned, because clearly every now and then your ideas need some polishing, and that's what I'm here for.
Okay.
I'm here to polish everything.
All right. Now that we got the introductions out of the way, if this is your first time ever listening or watching an episode of Bob After Dark, maybe you're a part of, what's your fan base called? Do you have a fan name for your fan base?
The Chi-Town Superfans.
The Chi-Town Superfans. If you're a member of the Chi-Town Superfans and you're crossing over into the world of paranormal because we got Steve here, or maybe you're a fan of Panic in the Region and you're jumping over to what his other projects are.
Our Panickers.
The Panickers. Is that what you're...
I don't know.
Okay, we'll work on it. Yeah. Bob After Dark is a weekly podcast where we talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural. Things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid sightings, and weird news. How the show works is we divide it up into a few segments. Our first segment is where we talk about weird, creepy, spooky news of the week. This is where major news outlets are picking up on stories that are paranormal, occulty, unexplained, straight up weird, or advances in science that borderline on science fiction. Soon enough, folks, I know I've been talking about this for a few weeks. It's just been kind of hectic. We're going to be splitting the podcast into two uploads a week. When it comes to podcast land, you're going to get the news articles, the news story bits at the top of the week, and then you're going to have the podcast at the bottom of the week. So you get two doses of Bob, and that splits it up for the new fans. They're not diving in and seeing an hour and 15-minute long episode every week. You could split it up into, you know, 40, 45 minutes each segment. So that's coming very soon. I just got to fix some kinks in the road, and we're launching the website soon. That's, you know, I've been talking about that for like 6 months, and we're finally getting that moving. So I'm excited about that. Let's dive right into the weird spooky news of the week. This is where I would cue the music, but I don't have music for that yet. So pretend you're listening to spooky news music.
That was spooky.
Yes. Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first? Because you actually brought material.
I do. I wanted to come back strong, so I actually
did. You
I
do
actually
the research as
work.
You were walking into the studio? Just typed in spooky news.
No, actually, I did this 2 days ago.
I'm proud of you. Yeah. Do you want to go first?
No, go for it.
Okay. So my first news article is actually in correlation with something we talked about a couple weeks ago on the show. because we were talking about the plague doctor pandemic going on in England. Epidemic. I can't think of the term because I've heard it used both times. But it's a growing weird thing in the art movement, I guess, and trying to scare people movement. It's not necessarily a smart thing. But something from our near recent past starting to pop up again, which blows my mind. And that is the clown surge.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
When people were dressing like clowns and scaring the daylights out of people, and then them trying to scare the wrong people and them getting hurt in the process by people that carry firearms.
Yeah.
And that fad died off really quick because then they were giving the legitimate clown community, which, yes, there is a legitimate clown community that does really good for charity work and various other things. They were giving them a really bad name. And they started doing some really horrific things like calling schools and threatening them, which is terrible. So that fad quickly died out until recently, where a creepy clown was spotted in Minnesota. And I just want to give a quick shout out to Tim Banal from Coast to Coast AM for the write-up on the article, which I will read now. The creepy clown phenomena has once again reared its proverbial grease-painted head as residents of one Minnesota community have reported sightings of a haunting clown. The presence of the unsettling individual came to light last Friday evening when chief of police in the city of Annandale took to social media to alert the public. Concerns of a, quote, clown in the area have been brought to my attention, Pete Standifer wrote, assuming residents that the department is aware of the individual and we will continue to monitor the situation. As if a message regarding a clown lurking in a community wasn't weird enough, the chief's statement took something of a strange turn as he explained that in order to take any action about individuals who are potentially concerning, we must justify a legal basis of a term's alarm or annoyance regarding the conduct that someone is engaged in. He went on to write that if an actual complaint to the police is not made, it affects our ability to appropriately deal with the situation. This would seem to suggest that no one has actually filed an official report about the clown as of yet, leaving authorities essentially powerless to do anything about the clown. Response to this announcement has been largely mixed, with some residents finding the whole affair rather amusing, while others, understandably, are unsettled by the news. As for the identity of the clown, a description of the individual from a witness is in keeping with similar cases throughout the country, in that the clown appears to simply be a teenager with too much time on their hands. To that end, one resident reported seeing a young man wearing a clown mask and riding around the city on a scooter. I didn't see him do anything illegal, the observer said. He was just being bored or put to a challenge. Hashtag Steve's take.
Ooh, I get a hashtag finally?
You do have to get your own.
I'm not a fan of clowns.
Okay.
Just in general.
That's fair.
So back in a couple years ago when this trend first happened, I was actively living down in Florida, training, and it was kind of creepy, Bob. It was kind of creepy.
Did you ever encounter one of them?
I did not, and no. Those clowns are lucky that I didn't. So yeah, I don't understand why people are doing it, and why they're trying to bring it back. I mean, we're all bored. We're all trying to look for things to do, but I don't know. Not my thing, man.
Hashtag panic steak.
Here's the thing. I think about those times, and not that long ago, and I think about the past year we had. It's kind of welcome back those old clown times once again. It seems like a nice switch up. Here's the thing, though. If you're dressing up like a clown, it's a terrifying thing. You're scaring people, but aren't you concerned? It's like those prank videos. You scare people. Aren't you concerned they got a weapon on them or something, or a gun? They could just shoot you right there. I mean, those pranks and those clowns things, if you're going to do that, you got to be, I don't know. It just seems like you're not in a safe zone when you do something like that. But that's just me. People have their own fun. Why am I going to stop you from having fun? I just want to do it personally.
You know, my soapbox moment, I guess. I'm all about, like, doing a thing to, like, garner some attention, if it's viral marketing or an art project, I guess. If that's what your end goal is, that's fine and dandy. But the second you start messing with the general public, like, in the sense of, like, I don't want to say a personal attack, but a personal, like, thing towards somebody, that's when I draw the line, right? I don't want people getting scared. And I remember when this first clown thing was going on, they were, like, sneaking up on people's, like, doorsteps and, like, scaring them through windows.
Yes.
Or, you know, scaring the elderly. Like, come on, man. You know, what are you gaining here? And I'm all about a good scare. It's what we do here on the show every week. But I just can't justify that being a thing. And it's like, if y'all are going to do this, go do it. That's fine. Just make sure, maybe you should let, like, your local PD know, like, hey, we're shooting this on this day. Or if it's an art project, make sure you're prepped to, like, I don't know, take it, I guess.
If you're going to do it, though, you also got to be a happy clown. If you're, like, a scary-looking clown,
unless you're doing viral
good.
Marketing for a horror film or something, in which case I totally get it. I've always often wondered what a Bob After Dark virtual viral campaign would be.
What would it be?
Pictures of my face saying, do you want to believe?
That would be terrifying.
Start taping it all over the place.
Open up a cabinet. Boom, there's Bob's face.
Yes,
just right there.
Oh, that's... I guess I want to believe it's Bob After Dark. I don't know. I always wondered what that would be.
Hmm.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think it would have to do something with Mothman.
Yes.
Just a bunch of, like, random people dressed like Mothman just walking around the
That's
town.
That's terrifying too, I feel like, for a lot of people.
Okay. Steve.
Yes, that's me.
You have a story.
I do, for once. I have a story, and this is actually from, this is a two-part thing. So, initially, I found the main story that I was going to share on the Fox News website, reported by Frank Miles of Fox News, and the headline is... Possible UFOs spotted off Florida coast. The dazzling video shows two orbs of light soaring airborne across the night sky. The article goes on to say the National UFO Reporting Center says, the National UFO Reporting Center says that there have been 245 new UFO reports through March 30th, and now a Florida man has two more for the research outlet. William Fuentes of Palm Coast sent video of two UFOs he spotted to WOFL, the Fox affiliate in Orlando. The dazzling video shows two orbs of light soaring airborne across the night sky. The Florida sightings follow a spike in general of UFO reports. Sightings of unidentified objects in 2020 rose by some 1,000 nationwide compared to 2019. To more than 7,200 sightings, according to the UFO Center. So I decided to dig a little bit deeper, because there wasn't any direct footage attached to this article. So I went looking for the original source. So I found the original source from Fox 35 Orlando. And in it includes the video sent by Mr. Fuentes, of these two orbs of light flying across the sky at his home. And they appear to be, and I think we can link up the article so people can see the video themselves. But it's two points of light that track together and move together through this video. I don't believe it's a UFO. There's multiple reasons for this. One is that this video is shot from what appears to be like a doorbell camera. So it's a very low level. And these two lights actually go and cut in front of two palm trees that are in this footage, which means that these objects aren't up in the sky. They're actually relatively low to the ground. I would say maybe 5-6 feet off the ground. Also, since this is a nighttime video, this is shot in infrared, and IR light, For those that aren't familiar, I'm going to get going to.
I've been waiting for this. An actual scientist on the show.
I'm going to go into a little bit of the science of this. IR light. It's a spectrum of light that we can't visibly see. However, it does. It will reflect off objects if you have the right equipment to view it. And what this appears to be is this appears to be the IR light reflecting off of a bug of some sort as it passes by this camera and by these lights. And I don't believe it's two separate objects. I believe it's just one object that refracted, because if you watch the video, again, we'll link the video up on the Bob After Dark page. Both of these objects have the same, not just shape, but they have the same contrails following it, which would make me assume that it's most likely a bug of some sort at this point in time.
Yeah.
In Florida, a lot of the bugs are really starting to come out. And that would be my assumption on this. If I had to make a call, I would say that this is a bug that in the concave of the camera lens actually appears as two different objects, but it's actually just one reflecting back.
Thank you.
There you have it.
That's, you actually showed me the video before we went live, and I got a chance to see it, so I had, because I didn't see the article prior to you telling me about it. I got a chance to see the video, and this is a perfect example of you can't always believe what you see. Because at first I was like, oh, they're in perfect synchrony. I'm like, that's kind of weird. And I'm like, mating butterflies? Because the patterns are very similar to, like, something flying in synchrony, right?
Right.
And it's too low to the ground to be considered, like, a UFO or anything like that. And so it's one of those times where you see something and you're like, wow, what is this? And you got to find a logical reason, which is what your job is.
And I want to even take that a little bit further.
Sure.
And point out that in the initial article, the way it was written makes it truly sound like UFO. And if you don't see the footage yourself, you would believe that it was something high up in the sky that was caught on camera. So always do your digging when it comes to these kinds of articles to try and find the initial source. So then you can see for yourself and say, and make that decision instead of just saying, oh yeah, I heard about, you know, these UFOs in Florida. You can find the actual video and say, okay, I don't think that's not a UFO. That's, in the very loosest sense of the term, it's a UFO.
Sure.
But, you know, yeah.
Hashtag panic stick.
You know, that's why I like Steve here, because I didn't see the video. But if I saw the video, I would jump to the conclusion that it must be something paranormal. That's what's nice about this. We kind of break it down around here to get to the bottom of it all.
You know what, folks, if this is your first time ever encountering Steve on the show, Steve is a trained, I don't want to call you a debunker because that's not your gig. You're a trained photo looker at her and a photo and a video observer. What's the term? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm a skeptical believer.
Right.
But I spent a lot of my time when I was on a paranormal investigation team on the tech team. So I analyzed photos that we got in. I analyzed the videos that we got in, and I've seen a lot of different things from
sure.
smoke to water to bugs to all this. So it's kind of become a second nature for me to look at this, look at the little details of the footage that we're getting, and then say, odds are it's not this. What could it be? And that's, you know, and if I can't label it as, you know, something known, then, you know, it is what it is, and we're left with either a ghost or a UFO or
right.
a monster or whatever.
Sure. And whereas Steve's on that side of the spectrum, my job in the world of investigations is more as the kind of boots to the ground type of person. I'm going to go in and get the evidence. I'll crawl in that hole in the wall to get a picture. And Steve's very good at what he does. I've worked with plenty of people that has Steve's job, and I always refer back to Steve when I have a photo that I can't figure out. But because of him, I have learned quite a bit in that sort of analyzing. That was the word I was looking for. Photo analyst.
Photo analyst.
Photo looker at her. But Steve's very good at it, and you've also done like EVPs as well too. Like you can listen through an EVP, and you're pretty good at picking up on what is an echo, what is matrixing in the static, things like that. So it's good to have Steve around, and that's Steve's job when I need to refer out to somebody. I always bother Steve.
Yeah, and so if you do happen to have a picture of something, if you have a footage of something, if you have audio of something, and you decide to send it into the Bob After Dark Facebook page or the Soon website.
Yes.
See, I put that over.
Thank you. It means I have to do it now.
I'll be the one who's most likely looking at it. I've been doing analysis.
Photo looker at her.
I've been using my peepers on the lookity box for about 10 years now. So, I'm the one looking at the stuff if you send it in. So if you do have something, please feel free to send it in, and we'll take a look at it.
Real quick, before we move on to the last story, there was a comment that I missed in the chat from a William Baker. And folks, if you're watching the live stream or listening to the live stream and not the podcast version, just know I don't ignore your comments in the chat. There's times when I'm juggling like three different things, so it's hard to look at the chat and be like, okay, that's what's going on. So I do apologize. The best way to directly reach out during a live show, to be honest with you, you can call in. Our phone number is 219-845-1100. Let's put Count Panic to work back there and answer some phones.
I'll take your phone call right now.
We'll take your phone calls if you got questions
about
the paranormal, weird things that might have happened to you, ghost sightings, UFO sighting, whatever it might be, our phone lines are open.
And I also want to just mention, the link to that video is up on
the page
right now.
I am so proud of you for actually using that for a purposeful thing and not posting pictures of Grimace from when he first launched.
There's still time. It's an early night.
Now, really quick, folks, William had in chat asked if I have ever seen all the research that was done at the closed West Virginia State Prison. Apparently, there's a ton of activity. I'm not sure I'm familiar with that particular prison. Are you?
I'm not, but it's something I'll definitely look into.
I'll put it on the list. Count Panic.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you didn't research the haunted prison.
The haunted prison. Well, if you got to think about that, Bob, aren't all prisons haunted? Think about that.
That's deep.
Think about that.
That's, I've been with you for a couple years now. And I've never heard you just drop, just be like.
That blew my mind.
That was good.
Is there not a haunted prison out there?
Count Panic, everybody. Sometimes he's there for my comical relief. Sometimes he's there to help move me along.
I feel like at this point, they're all haunted. So.
That's good.
It's a fair point.
Fair point.
You should go to every jail in America.
Even if they're operational now, excuse me, sir, ma'am, or pronoun, the preferred pronoun. I'm just going to be sweeping your jail cell for some K2 readings. I don't mean to bother you.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that, I guess.
Depends. Well, Bob leaves with his hair braided. It gets really weird.
Stop, behave. All right, let's move on to my last story. And then we have for the first time in a while, we have viewer submission mail.
What?
I haven't had that in a hot minute, which means that just means I have to get on the horn and make you people start telling me things. All right, so our last news story, once again, written by Tim Banal from Coast to Coast AM. And so when I search for the news articles, because I suggest that the Children of the Night always send in the news articles for us to talk about, if I don't get the submissions, I do the hunting on my own. And one of my there's like three places I always search for first when I'm doing my own research. Oddity Central, which sometimes their news is not anything we talk about, but just straight odd, like an alligator brushing its teeth for the first time. That's not something I'm going to talk about.
That is odd.
It's
that
odd. It's an oddity, but it's not Bob After Dark odd. Then I go to, there's another one through the Daily Herald, and then finally, Coast to Coast. I try not to rely so much on the mother show because Coast to Coast is a very You know, I don't want to always rely on them. I rely on them on the airwaves of me being the opener, by the way, on WJOB. I like to say I go on before Coast to Coast. Like, oh, on a national syndicate? I'm like, for my local station. But I am the opener.
You're the lead-in.
I'm the lead-in for Coast to Coast for the people that listen to in the greater Chicagoland area. Anyway, so quick shout-out. Thanks, Tim and all, for always getting these great articles. But this like when I was doing my quicks, you know, my first scan of titles in the articles to find something that catches my eye, there has never been an article that has caught my eye faster than this one. And you could tell me that I had wing humanoid spotted. Oh my God, just another Mothman sighting, right? Rumors of a shape-shifting boar demon spark hysteria in an Indonesian village. And boar is in B-O-A-R, like the pig.
Yeah, that's a new one, Bob.
That's a new one. So this I'm going to be reading the article word from word, again, from Tim Benala, Coast to Coast. And the first word in the article is panic. Panic recently spread throughout a village in Indonesia. As several residents believed that they had fallen victim to a shape-shifting boar demon that stole their money. The bizarre case reportedly began a few weeks ago in the community of Bedahan, when numerous people began to notice that their wealth had mysteriously depleted. As concerns began to grow, a self-proclaimed mystic stepped forward and pointed a finger at one of the particular individual who was unemployed yet seemingly wants for nothing. The sorceress went on to accuse the inexplicably rich resident of practicing a very strange form of black magic. According to the mystic-fueled speculation, which had quickly spread throughout the village, the suspected individual had become what is known as a... And forgive me, folks, I don't speak the common native language of Indonesia, so we're going to try... Babi Negepet. B-A-B-I space N-G-E-P-E-T. Such a being, legend has it, that utilizes a magical cloak that transforms them into a boar. Upon taking that form, the swine then sneaks into the homes and uses its powers to somehow extract riches from the residents. The ill-gotten loot subsequently appears beneath the cloak when the Babi Negepet becomes human again. While such a tale may sound wildly implausible to some, belief in the shape-shifting boar demon is apparently widely believed in some parts of the world, and in this case, the accusations cause quite the furor in Bedahan. Looking to put an end to the Babi Negepet's reign of terror, a posse of villagers tracked down and captured a boar that they suspected was the source of all their troubles. Although the furious group graciously offering any relative of the person believed to be inhabiting the swine's body to come forward and claim their loved one, no one answered the call, and, as such, they opted to behead the creature as part of a ritual designed to stop the sorcery once and for all. Amazingly, videos centered around the community's weird pursuit of the mystical being went viral on social media in Indonesia and ultimately wound up making national news in the country. A subsequent investigation by police in Bedahan determined that the pig was not the Babi Negepet, and in fact was just, well, a run-of-the-mill boar that had unfortunately found itself a target of an angry mob. Meanwhile, the mystic who started all the speculation in the first place soon became the target of the community's ire, since the residents have been widely mocked on social media for believing in the legendary tale of the shape-shifting boar demon. Despite apologizing for her action, the sorceress was banished from the village and could face criminal charges for causing the commotion. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a new one, Bob.
That's definitely a new one. Hashtag Steve's take.
Honestly, I don't know what to make of it. I think it goes to show, in reality, what a lot of these cryptids and monsters, how they actually start, is that it starts from a superstitious belief, and it just kind of grows, if that makes sense. It's an interesting story for sure, though.
Yeah, hashtag panic steak.
Well, I'm just saying, Bob, if you're going to get an animal you're trying to stop, you better make sure you got the right animal. that you're trying to stop. That's just a case of mistaken identity right there, Bob. It could happen to anyone, but you just got to make sure of these things. Because it could go horribly wrong, as we're seeing right now. You're trying to find a supernatural animal, and it's a regular, plain, everyday, run-of-the-mill animal.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
You know, it's a common case of mass hysteria or mass panic in a situation, just like one of my favorite paranormal stories of all time, the Mobile, Alabama.
Ghostbusters.
The Mobile, Alabama leprechaun. It just, one spark of one person saying something literally caused mass hysteria in this community. And in this case, people used an old belief and, once again, kind of stirred up some stuff. I don't blame the sorceress, per se, like the mystic that went into the village, because if that's the mystic's belief path, I'm not going to fault them for that. If that's what they know, if that's what they studied, if that's what they were taught, then I'm not going to judge them for that. And the fact that they may have caused some sort of commotion, I mean, it is what it kind of is, I guess. You can't really, it's not like, I don't know, I guess they were looking for an answer and this person came forward and thought that they did. Luckily, there was no person harmed. I feel it's unfortunate about the boar, and, you know, that's terrible. But you can't fault people for that sort of, like, old mysticism belief system, because people still believe in that sort of a thing. And you can't just be the first person to step up and be like, you're wrong, you should be thinking this way, because that's not how we should be acting as a people, right? That's just my two cents.
I agree.
Hashtag yeah. Bob's sense.
Bob's
hashtag Bob take.
Hashtag Bob take. What?
Bob take.
Bob sense.
Oh, it's a Bob take, yes.
Yeah. Hashtag Bob's take.
Bob. Folks, do you have yourself a weird spooky news article of the week that you find that you want us to share on the show? Slide into those DMs, Bob After Dark on Facebook, Instagram at Bob After Dark, or email us, bob@bobafterdark.com. A lot of Bob After Darks in one sentence.
When do I get a Steve at Bob After Dark email?
Do you want one? Just contact the domain host and they give me one. Do you want your own email address? Panic's got one.
I do?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm back, I would like, do you know what? We'll talk about it after the show.
Absolutely.
We'll talk about it. No heat, but we'll talk about it after the show.
All right, we got some viewer submission mail, and then we're going to move forward with the Lore of the Week. This viewer submission mail was actually a phone call I had. I don't know if they want to be named, so I'm just going to use the initials JG. JG reached out to me yesterday, because yesterday was Paranormal Day, guys.
Hey.
It was a day where you're supposed to celebrate people in the paranormal world that research and investigate in the community as a whole. It's kind of like a holiday for me. It's like the one time where I'm like, I have my own holiday. I have Ghostbusters Day, but... You know, there's not like a national Bob After Dark Day.
Yet.
So until then, I have Paranormal Day and I have Ghostbusters Day. Those are, and I guess Halloween. But I can't take Halloween for myself because people have been doing that one for thousands of years. So I get Paranormal Day, right? And so JG called me and we were talking a little bit about their encounter. And JG referred to it as it being twilight outside. So not yet nighttime, not full-blown daytime. So sun's still in the sky, but slowly nestling in. And the night sky is not, you know, physically seen by the visible eye. When they looked up at one specific time, and they saw, in the zenith above them, a silver orb shoot from one part of the sky to the other faster than what they refer to it as a shooting star. I'm not a UFOologist, guys. I'm a paranormal investigator. There are people out there that do nothing but study the UFOs and people that have encounters with them. So I'm not as well trained in the world of, you know, interviewing somebody that had one of these things happen to them. I know the basics. So, you know, are you near an airport? Are you near a place where you would see any sort of test piloting? For example, if I'm in my hometown of Whiting, and I see something zip by the sky in a weird motion, I'm not going to jump to a conclusion and say UFO.
It's probably a flying pierogi.
No, it's the Coast Guard's right there. So the Coast Guard have a base there, and they launch things all the time for, you know, rescue missions and trainings and stuff. So I don't necessarily jump to a conclusion and say that. But I do know that's something you ask. You know, and this person lives about 45 minutes away from the nearest airport, so it's not like they're going to see a takeoff or a landing. There's no news outlets over there, so they're not going to see a helicopter. And then I asked the popular question I think most UFOologists try to get out now when they're trying to get through the skeptical side of things, is did you see a drone? Because that's a very popular thing these days. Every major news outlet uses drones for something. And he said no, because it moved too rapidly. And apparently this wasn't his first sighting in the world. He said that he had one when he lived in another burb in Chicago, and then another time when he was in Michigan in the Upper Peninsula. And that he was asking me if there was any correlation to why he's seen these. I gave a few examples, but that was JG's quick potential UFO sighting.
Interesting.
Yep.
It's always fascinating to hear these UFO reports from, 45 minutes from an airport.
Yeah.
So, you're still used to seeing the planes coming in and out, so you're used to
right.
the flight patterns and all that stuff. So, those are always really kind of intriguing to me.
Yeah. So, folks, if you have a weird paranormal story of your own that you'd like to share with us, please, again, reach out and the stuff. We're going to take a quick break before we dive into the lore of the week, but before we do, I just have to give a quick reminder. Make sure you follow Bob After Dark on social media, Facebook and Instagram, at Bob After Dark, Twitter launching soon, and TikTok launching very soon.
You gonna do some dances?
I'm learning. I'm not young anymore. I'm 30 years old, so I got to get young and hip real quick.
We're going to do some TikTok. We're going to do TikTok dances. Bob and Steve are going to do TikTok dances, and it's going to be amazing.
Yes, 10 out of 10. All right, folks, take a quick break for our live audience. Stick around. We'll be right back. And for our podcast fans, stay tuned because you're going to be hearing words from a show that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Join myself, Kitsy Duncan, and my co-host, Nick Floyd, every week as we talk about all things weird, paranormal, and what might be an unhealthy obsession with Bigfoot. We're not here to creep you out. We want you to be a part of the conversation. Find the award-winning, sometimes hilarious, sometimes woo-woo, sometimes a hot mess, Oddity Files, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Welcome back, guys.
Good to be back here, Bob.
Had a good nap.
Panic, what'd you do during break?
Bob, if I told you, you wouldn't believe me.
I want to know.
I went out searching for some clowns.
Oh, did you find any?
Couple of them right outside the studio.
Really?
Yep. They said, be careful. And I said, don't you threaten us. We got a pro wrestler in the building here.
They
so
said,
Steve,
be
you
careful.
Might have to, so, Steve, you might have to fight some clowns tonight. I'm
they
sorry.
Said, be careful, and then you said, are you threatening me?
I took it as a threat, Bob. But
it's, do you know what I'll take on Doink and Dink? It's cool.
I was thinking Bulk and Skull.
Well, I mean, if they're clowns, it's got to be
Bulk and Skull.
Bulk and Skull, I guess, yeah.
The clowns are pretty big. Just saying.
It's not going to be Dink, then. It could be Steve Lombard.
It could be Doink and then Tennessee Doink. It could be one of the 10 Tennessee Doinks. I'm going to get heat for that joke.
No, okay, we're
going to get heat for that joke.
Let's,
no, it's fine. It's fine. But
all right, what'd you do during break? This is a bit, by the way. I don't know if you've known this.
I caught on, but now that you stooged it off to
okay,
let them
they
know
it's
a bit.
A bit.
Do they?
Yeah, I'm sure because mine is ridiculous this week.
Do you know what? I took a nap.
That's
I took
good.
A nap.
That was a good nap.
Still a little back, still a little stiff. That's a shoot. But yeah,
that's good.
That's good. What did you do, Bob? While
I
was napping,
I actually carved some wooden shoes.
Can we see them?
No, they're not done yet.
Okay, that's fair.
I gotta finish them.
Fair.
Solid bit, Bob.
Ask me if that ties into the lore of the week.
Does Bob? Does this tie into the lore?
No, it doesn't.
I was gonna if you came up with like clogging chupacabras, I would.
You are
spilling.
You are spoiling the episode. You are spoiling the topic, even though the podcast fans click on a topic that says episode 70, which I think this is episode 70 this week. Episode 070, Chupacabra.
And I mean, it's not like it's promoted as such on the socials.
Well, for our live fans and for our radio fans, they don't get that. But now you told them what we're talking about, and you're going to blow my whole introduction. So let's pretend you didn't hear that, folks, and let's try again. As we're recording this episode and doing it live, it is May the 4th. May the 4th be with you, yeah, everyone.
And also with you.
May the 4th, 2021 is when we're recording this episode. And this is a Bob After Dark first, because I am actually doing this episode before Cinco de Mayo. Behave. All right.
I'm a fan of Cinco de Mayo.
I am also a fan of Cinco de Mayo. I like a good margarita.
What's your favorite type of taco?
I'm a vegetarian, so I'm learning that now. You know, our friend Ray from Connecticut actually sent me a box of fake meat, and it had this awesome fake taco meat that I thoroughly enjoyed. So I like fake meat taco. I'm also a fan of cheese quesadillas.
Panic, what are your favorite tacos?
You know, I'm a fan of a pork taco. A pork taco.
Nice.
A spicy pork taco.
A good one.
Maybe with some sauce on there, you know. Uh-huh. Some cheese.
That sounds,
get what I'm saying here?
Sounds tasty.
Yeah, it does.
Sounds tastier than fake meat.
Well,
yeah. It's good.
Yeah. Bob's a cheese guy.
I do like cheese.
Yeah.
All right, because it is...
Oh, I guess my favorite tacos aren't important.
No, what's your favorite taco?
No, it's fine. It's fine. Okay. Let's move on. We're past it.
Okay, what's your favorite taco, Steve? Beef?
It's lingua, actually.
I don't know lingua. What that is.
Beef tongue.
Oh.
Beef tongue. Lingua.
Can you get that at Taco Bell?
You cannot.
Oh.
But any good Mexican restaurant worth its salt.
So not Taco Bell?
No.
A shame. Potato tacos, Bob. Taco Bell.
Cheese quesadillas.
Taco Bell's got a lot of good stuff. Yeah.
Okay, anyway, because this is May the 4th and we're before Cinco de Mayo, I wanted to do an episode centraling on something to do with the theme, and initially I was going to do an episode of La Llorona. The problem is, I don't speak a lick of Spanish, and the mythos of La Llorona is Spanish-heavy, so I need a Spanish-speaking guest to help me get through that. And Anthony is very busy these days. Do you speak Spanish?
Un poco.
Really? I've known you for how long? You speak Spanish?
You never asked.
Do you really speak Spanish?
Yeah, a little bit.
Enough?
But it depends on what enough means, but
yes.
Can
you speak it fluently?
No, I don't speak it fluently.
Can you get by in a conversation?
Yeah, I mean, I can, you know, I can get around.
Good subtitles in this video, probably, too.
Next time. Next time you're back, we'll do a lot of your own episode, and you're going to have to do all the research. I'm just going to sit here and smile and nod.
So it's going to tank.
I don't know, Bob. You did some good speaking before as far as languages go. I mean, I think you busted out some Spanish before.
I know a little bit. I know enough Polish to get through a conversation, but we're not talking about the Polish disco demon tonight.
No.
We're talking about...
Shame, really.
Yes, but anyway, so we're not doing the... I did a Polish disco demon episode. You called in.
Did I?
Yes.
Ooh.
You called in. That was the top five quick paranormal stories that I couldn't do a full episode about. And you called in. It was the Polish disco demon. And then we talked about the Newfoundland Fatberg. And you called in. And you're like, I'm impressed that you're talking about something scientific, Bob.
I remember none of this.
Go back and listen. It's about 10 episodes, about 15 episodes ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll go back and check it.
Oh, well, you called in.
I believe you. Okay. I mean, you're here all the time. This is your gimmick. Like, you'd remember that.
Okay. Anyway, so because I didn't get a chance to, I don't speak enough Spanish to do the story of La Llorona justice. Instead, I'm picking out probably the second most famous paranormal story of Latin America, and that is the El Chupacabra, or the Goat Sucker.
And I researched.
Okay, before we begin, folks, if this is your first time ever listening to a Steve Michaels introduction to a paranormal story, Steve usually derails the conversation, and he never disappoints. The time we did the J.V. Jones episode, he talked about the gentleman from the monkeys.
The valid mistake.
Talked about Gremlins the car?
Do you know what? He wasn't specific.
So, Steve.
Yes, Bob.
In a few short sentences, how are you going to derail the conversation of the Chupacabra?
I am legitimately upset that you think that I'm just going to shroot this topic.
All right. Like, in three sentences, what is the Chupacabra?
It is, thank you, it is a specialty dish of South Central Mexico.
That's my favorite kind of taco right there.
Why are you laughing? I did my research. Bob's over here just losing it.
Steve, you're going to have to carry the show now.
It's studio. So it is made by pressing thin layers of dough around the outside of a small mold. Why are you doing this? They closely resemble tostadas. It is a popular dish around Mexico that has gained popularity in the U.S.
Is this what the show's about?
I think so. It's one of Taco Bell's top-selling items,
really?
Although the preparation is different.
Is it called the Chupacabra, or is it called a Chalupa? It's called a Chalupa, isn't it?
Oh, no.
My mistake.
I guess we're done with it, the show now.
Can't be any worse than if Count Dracula calls. If Count Dracula calls, I'm just walking out the door. I'm done. He called in 2 weeks ago, and I was like, oh, Steve's not here. I have to.
Gotta pull it together.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I have some Chupacabra recipes.
A Chalupa.
Pretty sure it's pronounced Chupacabra.
Okay. Panic, have you ever had a Chupacabra?
I think so. One time at this one little Spanish restaurant down south, but that could be, I could be wrong about that, too.
They're good.
It sounds the same what you're
They're
describing.
Delicious.
Here.
All right. You guys ready for some actual...
It's a little corn shell.
Are you ready for some facts?
Oh, guess I'm not facts. Okay.
You pronounced it wrong. It's called a chalupa.
It says right here on my notes, the chew that says chalupa. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
Continue.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I gotta do some secondary research. Go. You do your thing.
Okay.
I'll be here just typing.
According to the Cryptid Wiki, which is a big database of a lot of cryptids in the world, even things very small that you only get like a two-sentence story about, they're very good on their database. The El Chupacabra is a cryptid renowned for its attacks on livestock, hence the Spanish name, the Goat Sucker. It supposedly eats chickens, goats, and other farm animals and pets. It has been reported all over the Americas, specifically the southwestern United States, Mexico, and Puerto Rico. There are two common versions of the Chupacabra. There is a reptilian kind, the Chupacabra, and the candid kind, which are also called blue dogs. There have been more than 2,000 sightings of this thing all over the area of both types. And when it sucks blood, it makes an odd noise. You're just staring at me.
I'm trying to research the Chupacabra.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad to hear you're doing some research. Cop Panic, we got anything to add to that?
No, this sounds terrifying so far about. So.
Have you, okay, before I move on.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the Chupacabra mythos in the past?
I have heard of it.
I am impressed. This is a time that even Count Panic knows.
I have heard of the story before. I'm not familiar with the whole backstory or the heritage of the Chupacabra,
well,
but I have heard of it.
Well, lucky for you, I have some history.
Thank
unless you.
You
have something you want to add. Okay. Their first known attacks were in March of 1995 in Puerto Rico. 8 sheep were slaughtered, were discovered dead, each completely drained of their blood. Investigators found 3 strange puncture wounds in their chest of the animals. Despite the odd circumstances, authorities could only attribute the killings to an unknown predator, a fox perhaps. Others, however, recognized the similarities in these deaths to the inanimate cattle mutilations which had been taking place in the American Southwest with increasing regularity. The woman who first sighted the monster, Madeline Tolentino, had an eyewitness description was the basis for the most famous drawing of the Chupacabra in the world. And this is where my Spanish we'll start butchering.
Right. I'm caught up now, so same page.
Okay. And Canovanas, about 30 citizens claim to have seen the chupacabras, swearing it had swooped down from the sky and leapt over treetops. And it wasn't until November 19th, 1995, that a detailed description of the chupacabras came from an eyewitness. On that autumn night in Puerto Rico, the creature struck again. Farmers awoke to a horrifying scene. Dozens of turkeys, rabbits, goats, cats, dogs, horses, and cows dead with no explainable cause. Just the mysterious markings left behind by the blood-drinking chupacabras.
So,
Oh, you have something you're going to add?
I do.
Of merit.
I think so.
Okay.
So, you know, it's interesting because in Puerto Rico, they had these sightings extremely frequently through, I believe it was mid-1996.
Yes.
And they all had that same description of it being a large reptilian kangaroo-looking creature.
Uh-huh.
With spikes on its back, with large red eyes, and it walked upright. But I'm probably jumping ahead of you, but I'm
no, you're
do
fine,
it.
You're fine.
But the interesting thing about the initial report, is that investigators went and they discussed with the woman who filed these reports, and they found out something that kind of discredits them. And it's that about a month before this report was filed, and that she reported what the chupacabra looked like, she had seen the movie Species.
Yeah.
And in the movie Species, for those of you that haven't seen it, it has a creature, an alien, that looks very similar to the creature that she described. So they believe that the initial reports were false because of the fact that there was such a close correlation between the two.
We have a caller.
Yeah, we got John online. John.
John, you're calling late.
Oh, better late than never, Bob.
I thought you forgot about us this week, John.
Never. And when Steve is back, hey, nice to hear you again, Steve.
It's good to be back. Thank you.
And I say here because I'm not watching because Bob knows I'm a radio guy.
That,
so.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Hey, I know you guys are probably going to say, John, where the heck have you been? But the other day I was flipping channels and I came across a pretty interesting subject that it was a ranch in Utah called Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah, it's a very popular topic amongst the paranormal community.
Never heard of it, and I didn't watch all of it, but here and there, and it's very, very interesting with paranormal activity. One thing they mentioned was something about a wolf or a coyote that they shot once, and it did not affect the animal.
No.
Second time, nothing. Third time, I think it was the fourth or fifth time after they shot it, they seen the flesh and the blood go from the front of the body to the back, out the back, and then it turned around and slowly walked like it wasn't even affected at all. So they followed it, and it just disappeared.
Yeah, that's that's in a famous encounter is written in the book, In Search of the Skinwalker Ranch, and I can't think of the doctor's name, but two biologists, like legit true biologists, went out there to study some of the phenomena, and that place is a window to all sorts of weird, and that the thing you were saying they were shooting at was a giant wolf bigger than what we would consider like a dire wolf. And this thing just kind of smartly saw them and hung out and took those shots and calmly walked away. Later, to also be seen, I'm spoiling the book a little bit, to be seen walking around, and I'm not joking, this is a legitimate, true-to-life encounter that people believe they saw, was the same wolf wearing a trench coat, walking bipedally, and smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, see, like I said, I didn't watch the whole thing, but there was numerous accounts of paranormal activity going on this ranch. And so, again, I never heard of it, you know, and I thought it was quite interesting. And hopefully, I'll be able to do some research or catch it on TV again. But I just wanted to see what you guys had to say about that.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic, and we'll have to put a pin in that to talk about it very soon.
All right, sounds good. You guys have a good evening, and welcome back, Steve.
Thanks, John. You.
Take care.
Yes, Skinwalkers are. I don't.
Skinwalker Ranch. That's a place.
And I studied a lot about Native Americans, Southwest Native Americans, in college. Spent a lot of my summers out in the Southwest. Skinwalkers are just nothing to play with. And that's one of those things that even for me, you know, with all my investigations and paranormal knowledge, that's just something that even bothers me.
Yeah,
and I thought that was George Lucas. What's the George Lucas one?
Where did he live? Skywalker.
Skywalker. Not to be confused with Skinwalker.
Back to
Ranch.
May the 4th. So yes, the creature was described very similarly in the film Species.
Yes.
This beast, people claimed, is about 4 to 5 feet tall, with large glowing eyes, spikes on its back, and very long claws. Claws. That's the word. Claws.
There you go.
I'm not going to edit that out. Do you have anything else you want to add to the species conversation?
No. I mean, I think it's, again, as a researcher, as someone that's a skeptical believer, you know, I think that kind of hurts any credibility of this creature as a whole, because there were no reports of a chupacabra before this what's probably a false report, and then all of a sudden these just start showing up. So it's a bit problematic to me for the rest of the chupacabra lure, but you know, I mean, we'll go a little bit further into some of the other different sightings outside of Puerto Rico.
Oh yeah, there's actually one very close to here in the radio studio, which is bizarre. So there's been a lot of folk that have studied the chupacabra, but probably one of the most important investigations ever done was by a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Radford. Benjamin Radford actually went down to Puerto Rico to go study these things, and he is a research fellow with the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry. He, you know, heard this was a story, thought it was a very unique idea. Between the dead livestock and the actual specimens, he had markings of an unprecedented scientific investigation into the creature, which has been archived in infamy, on par with Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster. And this was a story he could really seek his teeth into. By the way, guys, I'm getting this from BBC. When you have a body, everything changes, he explains. You have DNA samples, you have bone samples, you have morphology. As with all of his missions, Radford approached Chupacabra with an open mind, employing what he calls investigative skepticism, conducting field work, collecting evidence, and interviewing witnesses. I, of course, was initially skeptical on the creature's existence, he says. At the time, I was mindful that new animals have yet to be discovered, and I didn't want to debunk or dismiss it. If the chupacabra was real, I was to find it. The first place he started looking was actually in Texas and some of the other areas in the southwestern United States. Radford recorded about a dozen total of these creatures that died, and they were quite horrific looking, hairless, with a gaunt of appearance of burnt looking skin. However, DNA tests revealed a pretty mundane reality. The bodies turned out to be coyotes, dogs, or raccoons, barring one that was actually a fish. So he was finding these corpses of what could have been a chupacabra. But despite the clear DNA evidence, this version of events is a little fishy. The people who found and often shot these creatures were usually ranchers or rural folk who should have recognized a coyote when they saw one. This is, again, these these people that say they have shot and killed these chupacabras. So where does these confusion come from? The reasons these animals get identified as chupacabras is because they lost their hair, or it's just a simple mirage, explained Radford. And that's, he was saying that the more hairless the creature wandering around the woods, the more it seems. And Radford is quick to debunk this, and saying that the story of the chupacabra is false.
Yeah, and, you know, it's... That's something that was found through a lot of the specimens that not just he collected, but other scientists have collected as well, is that they found that a good percentage of them were either coyotes or dogs or canine hybrids. And most of them had either mange or they had scabies, which caused them to have a skinless or a hairless body, mm-hmm. Which made them look like this skinny kind of goat sucker creature thing.
Yeah, no, and that's just where it lies into. This is probably one of the few cryptids we've ever heard of that's gotten like legitimate scientific research done to it. You know, you have people more getting involved with the trying to find Bigfoot, but we actually had a corpse of this thing, and unfortunately, when they had the corpse, it turned out to be just rabies or the hairless animals due to the diseases that can happen to. But you can't discredit everything, because as the next few sightings I want to talk about are coming up here, it's very interesting to see what people are still seeing even to this day. Chupacabra sightings are still rampant even as early as last year. I got a phone call from somebody and said that there was a chupacabra sighting in Hobart, Indiana, of all places. I went out there and looked. I didn't find anything, which is probably for the best.
Yeah, I'm. So, like, again, to kind of go back to the what the scientists found, one of the effects that scabies has on animals like dogs and coyotes is it doesn't allow them as good of an ability to hunt the traditional prey that they would hunt. They don't have the agility needed to hunt wild game.
Yeah.
Which would explain why the livestock are getting killed, because those are all domesticated animals that are all in pens, and they can't run anywhere. So these dogs and coyotes or animals that have the scabies just go after the livestock, because that's easy prey for them. You know, and I think that's... I think that's kind of interesting. I mean, in El Salvador, for example, there was a whole town that was plagued by the chupacabra. When scientists went to investigate what was going on, they found that these creatures had punctured wounds on their backs. And their necks. The scientists found that they weren't completely drained of blood, but a lot of the blood was missing.
Yep.
But what it turned out is that the local bat population had actually run out of its normal food source in the jungle and had gone to the livestock because they needed the food.
Family of yours count? Nope, your mic is off.
I didn't want to bring it up, Bob, but yes, they are family. You got me here. But you did mention something interesting. Yeah, I think we should visit that one more time. Did you say that correctly? Did I hear you say Hobart, Indiana?
Hobart,
which
Indiana.
We are very close to.
Yeah, Hobart,
had
Indiana.
Had a chupacabra.
Yes, right off of...
what year was that?
This was last year, the year before, 2019, 2020. And I thought it was... I called one of my cryptozoology friends. I was like, Why why is there a chupacabra sighting in Northwest Indiana? Why? It's not of its normal territory.
Bluff?
Well, you should probably go look. So I did. I drove out to where they said they saw this stupid thing, and I couldn't find anything. I could not find a trace. I mean, I don't know what I'm looking for, but I had multiple people write in and say it was crossing Route 6 right by Cleveland. It was like Cleveland and 6 leading up Old Wisconsin Road. That area is heavily wooded.
Yeah.
So I parked my car at the gas station and I walked up and
really?
Peeking around to see if I came across anything, and I see no chupacabra.
What would you do, though, that you did see one?
What would you do, Bob?
It's a great question. I mean, I was, I don't think it's going to come after me, but if it was, I'm protected.
What a way to go out.
Fight with a chupacabra?
You have the only obituary that said that.
Yeah, Bob died.
Put
by
the show over.
Put the show over. Someone's going to have to host it. That makes you the full-time host.
Do 1 week goodbye.
Wow. But what?
But no, so there was one. There was a sighting. Two or three people claimed they saw one wandering about. I chalked it up as a possum sighting because that's
a big possum.
They get really big out there. I spent a long time in Hobart, Indiana in my youth, my early 20s. And I've seen the raccoons and the possums that come out of those woods, and they're pretty big. So I chalked it up to that, but I found it interesting. And one of the more things is, not much longer after that, in Houston, Texas, according to the ABC7 affiliate out there, a man spotted an unusual creature wandering around Houston's West Side corridor. The animal caught on, and this was actually caught on camera. The animal caught on camera hasn't been definitely identified, but some say it resembles the chupacabra. This thing looks like some form of hairless dog, which is possible, it might be, but it's got almost horn-like structures on its head. Rabies don't make you grow horns.
That's true.
It was a blurry photo, as is every cryptid photo ever.
You know, you would think, with all the good cameras we've got, and the motion blur, you know, the anti-motion blur stuff we have on all our phones, that wouldn't happen as much anymore.
It still happens.
Yeah.
But people still say it was definitely a dog suffering from, some sort of disease or potentially a coyote. But looks bizarre to me. I'll share that photo up on the Bob After Nerd page. Mm. But chupacabra, real or fake? Are you busting this case? You're done.
Yeah, I mean, look. There's no way in good conscience, as a science-minded individual, I can say it's a real thing. I mean, there was in my research, I stumbled across a video. From 2019 from Puerto Rico.
You had done research?
I did. Yeah, I did.
Sorry,
I do. I study.
Just giving them crap.
I blew the gimmick on this one now too. That I actually do also secondary real research. After I annoy Bob for a little bit.
Uh huh.
I found a video from Puerto Rico from 2019, where there were about 6 to 8 chickens found dead.
Yeah.
With puncture wounds on their backs and neck. In the video, they show that there's no blood left in the chickens.
Right.
So that's not enough for me to say that there's a real chupacabra. I mean, something obviously killed those chickens.
Sure.
But I mean, there's bats, there's coyotes, there's wolves, there's dogs.
I'm going to let panic take over, and then I'll hop on my thoughts.
I'm going to say, out of all the cryptids out there, chupacabra, very realistic in nature. I could see it being a real thing. There's that one photo, although you said it turned out to be something else. But the facts, like you said, Steve, they add up. This thing seems like a real entity. I'm saying chupacabras are out there. Maybe not in Hobart, Indiana, but they are out there.
As a paranormal investigator, I don't like to discredit, oh man, that's a call, and I bet it's Jack, because I'm about to give my final statement. As a paranormal investigator, I don't like to discredit people. I just don't. any sighting I hear about, I always take serious, as long as it's, you know, a serious thing. Am I right about it being Jack?
It's Jack.
All right, I'm going to put a pin in my final statement because I guessed it. Hey, Jack.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Doing good. Doing good. You're calling in right at the nick of time.
It's good to see Steve on, so nice to see you again, Steve.
Hey, thank you. It's good to be back.
I wanted to comment on the Chupacabra. Well, what you were just saying right now, Bob, like, that's, like, it's really important that every sighting that one comes across needs to be taken seriously. And that doesn't mean, you know, just for people out there that are not in the paranormal, that doesn't mean you need to believe that sighting, but you just, you know, take it seriously, because the paranormal is, you know, is full of these, what word should I use? Just these really wacky, far-fetched sightings. You know, you come across all sorts of things that just sound ridiculous, but, you know, the witness might be, you know, credible. And
right.
So, but I wanted to, you know, Steve was talking about how the woman who had the first, you know, sighting in 1995, she said that, well, she had seen the movie Species, right? And then, you know, she saw something that she couldn't really identify, and, you know, she associated it with the movie, and she really believes that, you know, that's what she saw. It looked like a species-like, you know, creature. And it's similar to what I'm writing about, and I'm writing about these creatures called crawlers. And the crawlers are these creatures that are said to be, you know, 7 to 8 feet tall, emaciated looking, pale, hairless, and they're usually seen like hunched over or crawling about. And a lot of these creatures, they're very similar to these cave-dwelling creatures that you see in a film called The Descent. And the movie came out in 2005, and a lot of these sightings picked up around that time as well. There were sightings beforehand, but a lot of the sightings picked up around this time. And I interviewed people who have witnessed these creatures, these crawlers, and you know, a lot of them never even seen the movie. Now, you could say, well, you know, they must have seen a trailer or something, and it just kind of, you know, collected in the back of their head, and it just stayed in their unconscious. And so when they saw something, you know, they associated it with that movie. You know, even that's probably true, and even if it is, that doesn't mean what they saw isn't real. You know, I don't want to use the word tulpa, because I think that gets used too much. But there is this theory, this called a psychosocial hypothesis, that, you know, what we've seen in entertainment, or what we, you know, surround ourselves with, you know, kind of projects out onto something that is unknown. Carl Jung, the psychologist, talked about this. He said, you know, he doesn't believe that UFOs are necessarily extraterrestrial, but he doesn't believe that people are totally hallucinating either. He believes that they're more like symbols that get projected out into the world. There is a combination of these internal psychic forces that get projected out, and they meet with these mysterious external forces. So I think a lot of times that's what we're dealing with in the paranormal.
Hmm. Well, considering you just pretty much took half of my closing statement, I'd say we're on the same page. I'll just give my closing statement with Jack on the phone and just pretty much paraphrase it. As a paranormal investigator, my job is to not I don't want to discredit anybody. Every sighting, as long as it's, you know, not the silly thing, always buy into it. probably something to it. There's always, you know, there's a story to it, whatever it might be. And I don't necessarily want to discredit the concept that this thing isn't real. Do I think that the researcher Radford that went and examined the bodies of the ones that these ranchers shot, saying that they don't exist, I'm sure that those particular ones weren't. That's the science behind it. They went out there and proved it. But these other ones that have been, you know, been found for a long time, and, you know, the chicken story in Puerto Rico, which is very familiar with that one as well. You know, who's to say that, yeah, it might be, you know, some sort of vampire bat or a fox or something that's just going to drain the blood and be done with it. But we also don't know that there could be some form of animal out there that's able to do this, because there's still animal species that are being discovered even today. So it's possible there might be something walking around. Now, on the flip side of the spectrum of this chupacabra thing is there's people out there that believe this is some sort of alien species and that they're here with some metaphysical powers. Do I think that chupacabra is in that realm of things? Probably not. But some form of lizard that hangs around, you know, that, like, golf area that's able to drink blood from something, I'm not going to say that's out of the realm of norm or out of the realm of reality. That's not, you know, it's not a bizarre concept. Vampire bats, as we were talking about, drains blood. So who's to say that there's a lizard that can't? So that's my two cents. So thanks, Jack, for calling in. We always appreciate when you do. I hope me stealing my closing statement back from you, I didn't butcher your stuff.
No, you probably explained things a lot better than I could. There you go.
Well, thanks for calling in, Jack. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jack.
All right. Thanks, guys, too.
All right. So that's my closing statement.
All right.
Don't think it's something out there with metaphysical powers that's, you know, causing havoc. Potential lizard species unidentified? Perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, these people are obviously seeing something.
Right.
And something is definitely killing their livestock.
Yes.
These are things that, without a question, are happening.
Yes.
The question now comes, is it an identified animal that that has a disease, or is it something that we haven't discovered yet? Scientifically speaking,
yes.
Odds are it's probably something we have seen or has already been discovered, because large mammals, large reptiles, they're still being discovered, but not at as great of a pace as you would assume.
Right.
So I can't discredit the fact that it could be.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, as a science minded person, I've gotta kinda look at the data and what has been researched.
Absolutely. All right, closing statements are done. You guys have anything else to add?
No, this is a solid show, Bob. Chupacabra. Chupacabra, man.
Chupacabra. Count Panic.
Got a taste for some chalupas, Bob. Fantastic stuff.
All right, folks, thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. You're giving me that look. Go on ahead.
Yes. So I just want to say, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Chicago Bear Hug.
Yes.
You can see me at on OVW TV, on Fight TV, starting this week, every Thursday, live for 2 hours. And see, Bob doesn't know I brought these. I have my own beard products. They're the Steve Michaels branded beard oil and beard balm. They're called the Kodiak. And it's got my face on them. They're phenomenal. I'm wearing the beard balm right now. You can get them at ringmasterbeardco.com. And if you use the promo code BEARHUG, you'll get a bit of a discount on that. So if you got a beard, they also have a mustache wax as well, if you just got a nice little mustache. So go there and get your stuff. I would suggest you have it, but you don't have a beard.
I have a beard. I just trimmed it up.
I missed the big.
I had to trim it up. It's getting warm outside. And if you guys want to get some Steve Michaels merch, prowrestlingtees.com/ChicagoBearHug for all of your Steve Michaels apparel needs. Guys, thank you so much. Guys, gals, pronoun of choice. Thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. I'm your host, Bob, and then alongside me, Steve and Panic. We just want to wish you guys good night, and to my mom and dad, sweet dreams, and to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. Remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are: not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.